إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session and final session, reading from Ashru Qawaid fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs, 10 Principles Concerning Purification of the Soul, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we go into the Khatima, the conclusion that the Sheikh wrote for this particular topic, we're going to just quickly review a couple of points from our last previous session, number 12, questionnaire study guide number 12. We're going to look at the questions there just quickly, and then we'll proceed with what the Shaykh wrote as a conclusion for this topic. The first question being, briefly discuss the first mithal, the first example or parable for the nafs, for the soul, as mentioned by Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad Al-Ajuri, rahimahullah. Naam, Abdul Haq. Summarize it, thank you.
الجوري النفس كالمفر الحسن من الخيل إذا نظر إليه النادر أعجبه حسنه
وبهاؤه
ولكن يقول أهل البصيرة لا ينتفع بها عند الطلب أو الهرب حتى يراد رياضة حسنة ويؤدب أدبا حسنا.
طيب. And this is the summary of what Imam Ajuri rahimahullah said, that يعني the parable, the likeness, the example of the nafs. Yani this is yani an attempt to give us an image or a picture of yani what is the relationship between the human being and their nafs. He said it is like a small pony, a small horse. Now a small horse yani that is beautiful. And if anyone looks at it, they are pleased, they are amazed at its beauty and its splendor. However, those who have knowledge and insight into the affair of this small horse, this baby horse, yani they say that you will not benefit from it until it is given a good training and a good discipline. And then yani you will benefit from it in terms of al-talab wal-harab, yani if you're seeking something, you will catch it. If you're fleeing from something, you will escape from it. Otherwise, if it is not trained well, if it is not disciplined well, then you will not benefit from its beauty alone and its splendor. If it hasn't been trained, then you will not really get the benefit that one is seeking, and the rider who rides it will not praise yani the end result of yani what it has reached. The point here is that the nafs, it has potential, it has to be developed. If it's not developed, then you will not benefit. Yani it has to be trained, it has to be disciplined, it has to be under control. Second question, what has been mentioned as being essential for the trainer of the muhr, the colt, yani colt, yani the small baby horse. what has been mentioned as being essential for the trainer of this small horse, if its owner is to one day benefit from it. What is essential in the trainer? Now,
the trainer has to have knowledge of training.
The trainer has to have knowledge of how to train. Now,
also he has to be patient. And also
has to have patience, yani following through with the training. Now,
also he has to have good intent. You have to be sincere.
Sincere in his effort in the work of training that horse. Naam. These are essential elements of the trainer, in which case, if the trainer has knowledge of training and disciplining horses and has patience to execute that knowledge that they have in training the horse, and they are sincere, yani they do well in their training, then in that case, the owner will benefit from that horse. Question number 3, mention 2 cases in which the trainer's effort will not result in the owner or rider benefiting from the horse. 2 cases the Sheikh mentioned, somebody mentioned one of them, yani in which the owner nor the rider will benefit from that horse. Now, nobody else? Taib Fadl.
If the trainer doesn't have knowledge about the ilm al-riyada.
Okay, if the trainer doesn't have knowledge of this training, of how to train, he doesn't have knowledge of how to train. Now,
and the second case, lahu ilm al-riyada, walakin laysa lahu sabrun ala ma
ma'ahu min al-ilm al-riyada. Tayyib, yani the summary of the other 2 cases is a trainer who doesn't have knowledge of how to train, how to discipline horses. They don't really know what they're doing. That person, yani, will ruin the horse and waste their time and will not produce any results. The other one is the case of the person who does have knowledge of how to train, but they don't have the patience to follow through with that training, and they are not sincere in their effort to train the horse, and in that case, similarly, there will not be any benefit, and there will not be any good result from those type of trainers. Yani, you will just have a horse that looks good on the outside, but will not have yani the ability or the skill to do what is expected of it. Question number 4, discuss the type. And by the way, the point here again is what? Yani, all of this is related to the nafs, that the soul of the human being requires training, but that training has to be based upon knowledge, and that a person has to have patience in training and disciplining the nafs if they're going to be successful and getting it under control and subduing it, and then yani benefiting from it. Question number 4, discuss the type of nadam, regret or remorse experienced by one who neglects to train the muhr, even though he knows better. Even though he knows better. Yani, what type of regret yani does this person, will this person experience?
The regret he's going to have is in the talab, when he is going to try to catch or pursue something, or when he go, or in the harab, when he is going to try to escape, and he's going to find out that his horse is not going to benefit him, so he's going to have a very great regret, at the extent of the regret.
Yeah, he will have a great, very great regret. Yani, at the time when, yani, due to his neglect of the proper training or not having knowledge of how to train, yani, when he seeks to catch something, he will not catch it. He seeks to flee, he will not escape. In that case, yani, he will have a very great regret. And even the Sheikh said, he said, yani,
he's going to see those that have been patient.
Yeah, he'll see the other people who were patient, who trained their horses and got the benefit. But the regret, specifically, the Shaykh said, it is a regret that يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُهُ النَّدَمُ. Yani, regret, there will be a day in which that regret will not be of any benefit. Yani, you'll just be, the point is here that the human being in this world, if we don't control our nafs, if we don't train and discipline the nafs, then there will come a day in which we will regret that we didn't train it, but there will be no benefit from that regret. It will be too late then. Yani, it will be the day of accounting, in which regret, remorse, sorrow, all of that, I apologize, you know, it's of no benefit at that point. Now is the time to attend to the affair, yani, while we are in a position that we can do something to help ourselves. Question number 5, discuss the lesson to be learned from this first mithal of Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad Al-Ajuri, rahimahullah. The lesson to be learned from this example. Naam. Waleed.
You gave this example of a cult in saying that the same way, this is the example of the mess. So a person needs to be patient and he needs to attain knowledge so that he may not regret one day about not learning. And the only way to not regret it is to learn and to act upon it so that you may purify the soul. And in order to do so, you need to know. And you need, from this, you need to be patient along the way.
Now, do you want to add something?
I just want to organize what he says.
No problem.
Just to organize. He said that the nafs need to be trained and disciplined.
It needs to be trained and disciplined.
So for that, so for that we need knowledge to rectify it and purify it.
So in order for that, you have to have knowledge in order to rectify it and purify it. And
the person neglects the sake of the knowledge and the how to train the nafs, he will regret one day when.
So if a person has neglected seeking the proper knowledge of how to train and not having the patience to execute the training, then there will come a time, yani, when they will regret, yani, the greatest regret that a person may experience. And this is really the bottom line on Yom Qiyamah. Yani, everybody on that day will have regret. They will have remorse. Yani, as the Sheikh mentioned previously, yani, some of the people will regret that they didn't, if they did good, they didn't do more good. And the people who fell short, they will regret that they didn't correct themselves before it was too late. So let us take yani, account of ourselves before it's too late and the opportunity pass us by. Question number 6, briefly discuss the second mithal for the nafs as mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah. The second parable, Sulaiman?
Yes.
Sulaiman, now.
He presented an example of the mountain.
Mountain.
And those difficulties on the mountain with the robbers, the snakes.
Difficulties in climbing the mountain with robbers and... Uh-huh. Anybody want to add to that? Huh? And Shaitan also, yani, scaring the people and warning the people from trying to climb. Uh-huh. No, go ahead.
No, he said that the al-jabalus al-nafsus jabalun adhimun shakun fi tariqi sayri ila Allah ta'ala.
Naam.
And wa aidan wa kullu sa'iru laysa lahu la tariqa lahu illa ala dhalika al-jabal wa la budda an yantaha ilayhi wa aidan minhum man huwa saqun alayhi wa man huwa sahlun alayhi wa innahu la yasirun ala man yassara Allah ilayhi.
The Shaykh, he said, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that example, yani in this example, this parable, he said the example, yani that the nafs actually is like a great, tremendous, magnificent mountain that's difficult, yani shaq, difficult, very difficult to climb. That mountain is in the road, the way of the one who's traveling to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And nobody, there's no traveler who's on the road except that they have to go past this mountain. They have to climb this mountain to get down the road. There's no other way. Yani, there's no way except that you're going to come to this mountain and you have to climb this mountain. And the mountain, it's a great mountain. And of course it has difficulties, all types of difficulties, including what was mentioned. Yani, the thieves who would cut the people off on the road, the shaitan warning people and frightening them. And he said that, yani, no one will be able to be successful in climbing this mountain except yani the one who Allah makes it easy for. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَصِيرُ يعني, but it is easy only for the one who يَسَّرُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, except for the one that Allah made it easy to. Easy for. The example of the mountain is that the nafs is a difficult يعني, thing to control. It's not that easy. Climbing a mountain is not easy, especially with all the extra difficulties that one may involve. It's a task, na'am. And it will be difficult for some people and it will be easy for others who Allah makes it easy for. But in any case, yani, there's no way to reach Allah except that you have to go on this road, you have to climb that mountain, and it's going to require yani, tremendous effort and ultimately in the end, help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 7, most travelers stop trying and return. That is, they give up the journey for 3 main reasons. Mention these reasons. What are the 3 main reasons why Yani the people who are traveling on this road give up the journey. Now, Musa. That's one of the things that's necessary. But what is the thing that prevents the person from going on and cause them to give up? Three things the Shaykh mentioned that actually prevent the person and cause them to give up. You have something?
Frightening?
Okay, the shaitan that is frightening people from climbing the mountain and warning them from trying to climb the mountain. That's one of them. Now, anybody else who didn't? Now, okay, fadl. He mentioned that. But that's not one of the three things that he mentioned. That's part of the difficulty of the mountain. Now, that's a detail from one of those points. That's the detail of it. But the general meaning of it, he said?
The general meaning, the difficulty of the mountain.
Su'ubatu, su'ud al-jabal. Which includes the thieves and includes the difficulty of climbing the mountain and all of that. The first thing he said is what? The shaitan that's warning the people and frightening the people. And the second was the difficulty of climbing the mountain itself. Without a shaitan warning the people and threatening the people. And the third thing he said is related to the person themselves. Weakness. Da'af. Azima. Waniyati. Yani that the person's resolve, their resolve is weak. And they don't have firm resolve to climb the mountain from the beginning. The mountain is difficult to climb, and they haven't made resolution that I'm going to do this. They didn't have a resolution that they're going to do it. These are the three things that the Shaykh, that he mentioned, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned the difficulty of the climbing. The person doesn't have firm resolve. And then there's also the shaitan warning them and frightening them from trying to climb this mountain. Question number 8, mention the four things which are between the abd, the person, and sa'ada and falah. Any happiness and success? Yani what comes in between? What are the four things that yani separate the person or that are required by a person in order to achieve a sa'ada and al-falah, happiness and success? He mentioned four things. Elihu.
Courageousness of the soul.
Shaja'at al-nafs. Naam. Also.
Sabru
Sa'atin, yani some amount of patience for some time. Yani just to get up the mountain. This is a whole long road. The mountain is only one obstacle in the road. So the person requires what? Sabra. Yani for time. Naam. Quwwatu azimatin. The person has to have strong, firm resolve. Yani to complete the task. Naam.
Firmness of the heart.
Thabat al-qalb. Thabat qalb. Naam. Firmness of the heart. Yani courageousness of the soul, firmness of the heart. Yani quwwatu azima. Quwwatu azima wa sabru yani sa'atin. Question number 9, discuss the lesson to be learned from this second mithal of Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. Yani what is the lesson to be learned from this particular example? Fadlu. Ya Abdul Haq.
In this example, the state of the nafs and how it's very difficult to subdue it, to overcome it.
Okay, the state of the nafs, yani what is the condition of the nafs and how difficult it is to overcome it? And he said that it requires, yani, three things.
For you to be on top of it.
To be on top of it, to be consistent, to be persistent. Yeah. Yani, at-ta'ahud, yani, iltizam, to stick to the matter, naam.
To strive on the controlling it and be patient too.
Patience? Naam. Mu'alaja. Mu'alaja. Yani he said it requires mu'alaja. Yani to treat the sicknesses of the soul. You have to treat the sicknesses of the soul. And the third thing he mentioned?
Healing.
Yeah, healing. Mudawat, yani, really means, mudawat means like therapy or rehabilitation. Yani, so these are three things that are essential. Yani, curing the sickness and then rehabilitating the nafs. So that it comes back to its natural condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it in. Now,
the Shaykh mentioned in the close that a person must strive against the soul upon the tariqah, shar'i, yani he must follow the legislation.
Yani that if a person has these things, yani consistency, persistence, ta'ahud, on yani controlling and disciplining the soul, then they also have to do it though in the yani by tariq shar'i, yani in the legislated way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and patience in doing that. And patience in doing that. Naam. And if a person doesn't do that, naam. Then the soul will escape. It will flee. And it will be lost. He will, yani, have lost it. He will have wasted it. Naam. The last question before we go into tonight's topic is memorize two statements of Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, which remind us that being saved and being successful, is from Allah alone. Being saved and being successful, yani being saved from harm and being successful in achieving the goal, is yani from Allah alone. Actually, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned three statements here. One of them we mentioned in one of the answers, somebody mentioned it, and the other two nobody mentioned. Naam, we're going to start with Ibrahim. Okay, he said that the fadl biyadillah yu'tihi man yasha wallahu dhu fadl al-azim. Yani that if a person achieves good, know that the fadl, the bounty, the favor is in the hand of Allah. It's not due to your greatness or your yani excellence or superiority of others. Rather, al-fadl biyadillah yu'tihi man yasha, he gives it to whoever he wills. So if you have achieved something, know this is the favor of Allah, that he gives whoever he wills, and Allah is the one who possesses great, tremendous bounty. That's one of the statements. Second one. Wal-ma'asum, yani if anybody escaped from the harms of this journey, then he said at the end of that, he said what? Wal-ma'asum man asamahullah. Yani the one who is protected, who is preserved, who is saved from harm, is the one who Allah has protected. The one who Allah has preserved. Naam. And the third statement, which is the first one that he mentioned, Naam, Musa. Yeah, when he talked about climbing the mountain, he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَصِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Yani that it is difficult for some people, it's easy for others, but it's only easy for those who Allah made it easy for. Yani, and the Prophet ﷺ used to say, and it's a good yani word of remembrance for the believer, especially in times of difficulty, اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل حزنا إذا شئت سهلا. يعني oh Allah, there's nothing easy except what you have made easy. There's nothing easy except if Allah made it easy. Otherwise everything is difficult except that Allah made it easy. And oh Allah, you are the one who makes difficult things easy if you will. So we should ask Allah when in difficulty, oh Allah, make this easy, because Allah is the one who makes difficult things easy if He wills. And there's nothing easy except what Allah has made easy. And that's a fact. And whoever understands that and pronounces those words, yani with sincerity from their heart, believing in the truthfulness of it, know for sure that Allah is able to make a way out from you from whatever you is in. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And so whoever has difficulty, know that if you observe taqwa of Allah, Allah can make a way out for you and Allah will provide for you from where you didn't expect it. Tonight, we're going to read the closing comments of the Shaykh, the end of this series of principles that he mentioned, 10 of them. And he closed with a tremendous topic that is of great importance. And I would advise that any one of these advices that he mentioned here, if a person were to read it in the beginning of their day, reflect upon it, and carry it with them, it will help you for sure. Any one of these advices, any one of them, whether it is from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, or Umar ibn al-Khattab, or Uthman ibn Affan, or Ali ibn Abi Talib, or other than them, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, whoever would take one of these advices from these tremendous people, these great people who were the greatest of humanity after the prophets and messengers, then indeed, the person who reflects upon what they have advised us with and takes it to heart and carries it with them, it will help you through the day and it will help you to success bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says on page 44 of the Arabic text, I don't know what page it is in the English translation, I didn't check, sorry. 46, on page 46 of the English translation, khatimatun, yani the conclusion, the end of this yani topic. He says, وبعدما تقدم من بيان هذه القواعد التي تعين العبد على تزكية نفسه وتطهيرها. يعني after what has preceded or what has been presented already, from the clarification of these principles which will help and assist and aid a person in the process of purification of his self, in the process of purification of the soul and the cleansing or cleaning of one soul, after what has been mentioned, ظهر بجلال حاجة النفس إلى محاسبة مدام في دار المهلة والعملي قبل أن يقف الإنسان بين يدي الله عز وجل يوم القيامة وقد أهمل إصلاح نفسه وكانت سبب حلاكه. يعني the Shaykh, he said, after what has been presented of these principles of purification of the soul, it has become very clear the haja, the need of the nafs, to the need of what? Al-muhasaba, of taking account of oneself. Al-muhasaba. And this is something that we talked about on numerous occasions. It is indeed one of the great principles that we have been taught in Islam, that came in the Quran, it came in the Sunnah. Yani al-muhasaba. Al-muhasaba, taking account of oneself. This is the topic that the Shaykh is closing this with. Yani the need, the necessity of al-muhasaba, of taking account of oneself now, yani before it's too late. He said, this need for this, of the muhasabat al-nafs, yani, has become clear as long as we are in darul muhla wal-amal, yani as long as we're in the place, yani the world, where we have some time, some respite, yani you still have some time left. Because once you leave this world, there's no opportunity after that. But while we're in this world of respite and the world of amal, where a person is able now still to do the deeds that can be of benefit to them, before a person is standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, while they had neglected the rectification of their self, and that had been the cause of their destruction. Yani the need of muhasaba now, while we're in the position, in the place where we have some time and we can do some actions that may help us on Yawm al-Qiyamah before the day of standing, and we find ourselves in a position where we have neglected the rectification of our nafs, and that being had been the cause of our destruction. وَقَدْ كَانَ السَّلَفُ الصَّالِحُ يُذَكِّرُونَ النَّاسَ وَيُوصُونَهُمْ بِضَرُورَةِ مُحَاسَبَةِ النَّفْسِ وَإِصْلَاحِهَا قَبْلَ فَوَاتِ الْأَوَانِ وَحُلُولِ الْمَنِيَّةِ. Said that the righteous predecessors, yani meaning the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the tabi'un and atba' tabi'in, and those who followed in their way, they used to remind the people and they used to advise the people of the darura, the necessity. Here he didn't say the importance, he didn't say the need, he said the necessity, the absolute necessity of taking account of the nafs and the rectification of the nafs before the time passes you by and before the descending of death upon you. ويحسن في ختام هذه الرسالة نقل بعض الوصايا التي جاءت عنهم في هذا الباب وعلى رأس هؤلاء الخلفاء الأربعة الراشدون. يعني so it is good in the conclusion of this risala, this essay, that we transmit or convey some of the wasaya, the advices which came from them, yani from the Salaf al-Salih, concerning this particular topic. And at the head of them are the four rightly guided khalifas, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So the first advice is from the first khalifa, yani qala al-khalifatu al-rashidu Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, yani the rightly guided khalifa Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, i'lamu ibadallah. He said, know, O worshippers of Allah. Know, O worshippers of Allah. Meaning, you must know, human beings, all the people who consider themselves to be worshippers of Allah, annakum taghduna wa taruhuna, that you are going out in the beginning of the day and you are coming back in the end of the day. Yani you are going through the course of a day, fi ajlin qad ghuyiba ankum ilmuhu. Yani in an appointed time, Allah has already appointed your time. You are going and coming, yani without paying attention perhaps, that there is an ajal, an appointed time for you which is not known to you. Ghuyiba anka ilmuhu. You don't have knowledge of it. Yani when will be the end of your time? But you are just going and coming, morning and evening, as though any time is unlimited. Not so. And some of us, we go through the course of a day, we start the day and we end the day, and we never thought that it may be the last, that there may not be another chance, and we didn't do anything with it. and we didn't take account of ourselves, and we didn't feel that we lost that day. We just, I need tomorrow, whatever. Tomorrow we'll do something. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Indeed, absolutely, without any consideration or any restriction, the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers radiallahu anhu. This is what he said. No worship is of Allah. That you're going out in the beginning of the day and coming back in the end of the day, within an appointed period of time that's fixed, knowledge of which you do not have. فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ تَنْقَضِيَ الْآجَالُ وَأَنْتُمْ يعني وَاوَ الْحَالُ وَأَنْتُمْ فِي عَمَلِ اللَّهِ فَفَعَلُوا. So if you are able to end the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, your lifetime, if you are able to end it while you being engaged in the action of Allah, meaning the deeds for the sake of Allah, if you are able to do so, then do so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran similar to this, وَلَا تَمُوتُونَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. يعني do not die. We don't know when is the end of our time. But if a person is engaged in the deeds that are pleasing to Allah, then that's the only way by the permission of Allah that they can guarantee that they're going to die in a condition where they're engaged in that which is pleasing to Allah. وَلَا تَمُوتُونَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Meaning, be in submission to Allah all the time, every day, morning, noon, and night, public and private, so that whenever that time comes, you will be, يعني, engaged in, as Abu Bakr Siddiq says here, في عمل الله, يعني, you will be engaged in doing that which is pleasing to Allah in submission, يعني, upon at-tawheed. And you will not be able to do that, إلا بالله. But you will not be able to do that except by help, by permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So know that the effort that you are making also requires to ask Allah for success, because you will never be successful in whatever you try to do except by help and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the prophets, he said what? وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. A prophet is saying that. They are our examples. They are our examples. Naam. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Abu Bakr, he said, فَسَابِقُوا فِي مُهْلِ أَجَالِكُمْ. Yani, so hasten. Hasten, compete with one another, yani, in attempting to do good during this period of respite, yani, the period of respite of the terms of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you while you're in this world. قَبْلَ أَن تَنْقَضِيَ أَجَالُكُمْ. Before your lifespans end. Yani, hasten in doing good while you have the time to do so, while Allah has given you respite, before the end of your time. And in that case, when that end comes, you will be returned to the most evil of your deeds. And you will be turned to face the most evil of what you have done in this world. فَإِنَّ أَقْوَامًا جَعَلُوا أَجَالَهُمْ لِغَيْرِهِمْ وَنَسُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Indeed, there are people who gave their time, yani the time that Allah gave them in this world, they devoted it to others instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah caused them to forget themselves. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَلَذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be, yani Abu Bakr Siddiq, he's taking this from the Quran. He's saying, yani, that don't be, yani, like those people who gave their time to others and they forgot about Allah. And Allah said, do not be like those who forgot Allah, so Allah caused them to forget their own selves, meaning that they forgot to do their duty to Allah and to expend their time, devote themselves to worship Allah. And as a result of that, Allah caused them to forget to do the deeds that would be for of the benefit of themselves. Yani, Allah caused them to forget themselves, meaning caused them to forget to do the things that would be for the benefit of themselves on Yawm Qiyam. Because Allah doesn't have any need of the good that we do. Rather, it is to the benefit of our own selves. So don't be like those who forgot Allah, and therefore Allah caused them to forget themselves. He said, I prohibit you from being like those people. Al-waha, al-waha. Yani, hasten, hurry, quickly. Thumma naja, naja, and there will be success, success. Indeed, behind you is a taliban, حثيثاً مره سريع يعني مروره قدومه سريعاً. يعني there's behind you one a talib, yani one who is seeking you, who is fast, quickly seeking you, and his kudum, his arrival, his coming to you, will come quickly. That is, yani al-maut. Hasten to do good, because there's one coming behind you, whose arrival is coming quickly, and that is death. That is death. Naam. The Shaykh, second, he mentioned, يقول الخليفة الثاني عمر ابن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. يعني take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. يعني every day, as much as possible, at least in the end of the day, take account of yourself. Because if you don't take account of yourself, then indeed the time will come where account will be taken of you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and then it will be too late. So take account of yourselves. See where you have fallen short, try to make up for it. See what you have done well, try to do it better. وَزِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلًا تُوزَنُوا. And weigh yourselves before you are weighed. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith that not only the deeds of the people will be weighed, the people themselves will be weighed. Yani, and the weight of a person will be in accordance with their goodness, not in accordance with how fat they are. وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِلْأَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. And beautify yourselves for the ard, yani the day of standing, when people will be presented, that great day of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَزَيَّنُوا, yani beautify yourselves with what? With good deeds, with iman. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinatil iman. Zayyinna bi zinatil iman. The greatest zina, it is the adornment of iman. Of iman. And of course, iman includes good deeds, right? Because iman is conviction in the heart, speech on the tongue, and the actions of the limbs that increase and decrease. Yani, in accordance with what the scholars have said, yani, of the people doing good deeds or evil deeds. And the people are not equal in this. Some people excel others in iman. وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِلْأَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. Yani, beautify yourselves with iman for this day when everyone will be presented before Allah, a day in which the people will be presented, you all will be presented, and nothing will be hidden. Yani, from whatever you have said or done. Nothing will be hidden, not even the khafiya. Yani, not even that which is secret. That which is concealed. Uthman, wa yaqulu al-khalifa al-thalith, Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu, ibn Adam, ya'ani, ya ibn Adam. He said, O ibn Adam, ya'ani, meaning every human being. I'lam anna malak al-maut al-ladhi wukila bika lam yazal yukhlifuka. وَيَتَخَطَّى إِلَىٰ غَيْرِكَ مُذْ أَنْتَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Know that the angel of death that is appointed over you continued to pass you and to go towards other than you since you were in this world. Yani, since we came into this world, the angel of death has continued to pass over us. We are still here. And go to someone else. And go to someone else. وَكَأَنَّهُ قَدْ تَخَطَّى غَيْرَكَ إِلَيْكَ وَقَصَدَكَ. But it is as though now, يعني he has, يعني passed over, left behind, other than you, to go to you, and he intends to take you. فَخُذْ هِذْرَكَ وَاسْتَعِدَّ لَهُ وَلَا تَغْفَلْ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفَلْ عَنْكَ. So take precautions. Be prepared. And do not be heedless. Do not be unmindful. For indeed, the angel of death is not unmindful of you. And then he also said, know, O son of Adam, if you forget about your nafs and you didn't prepare it, no one else will prepare anything for you if you didn't do for yourself. And it is a necessity, the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must occur. So take, yani, do something. Take precautions and do something for yourself. And don't entrust it to someone else to do it for you. And then, yani, يقول الخليفة الرابع علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه: يا أيها الناس إن أخوف ما أخاف عليكم طول الأمل. يعني oh people, the thing that I fear most for you is having long hopes. يعني meaning having a lot of hope that يعني has no basis. يعني I hope good is going to come to me. I hope I'm going to be okay. Based on what? What did you do? يعني just wishing and hoping without doing anything. وَاتِّبَاعَ الْهَوَى and following desires. يعني long hopes and following desires. فَأَمَّا طُولَ الْعَمَلِ الْأَمَلِ فَيُنْسِي الْآخِرَةِ. As far as يعني having too much hope that is baseless, it will cause you to forget about the hereafter. يعني just hoping without doing something for the next life. And as far as following desires, فَيُضِلُّ عَنِ الْحَقِّ. يعني this is what causes a person to go astray from the truth. Following desires. And then he said, يعني Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, tremendous, tremendous advice, reality, truth. أَلَا إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا قَدْ وَلَّتْ مُدْبِرَةً. Isn't it so that the dunya, the life in this world, it has turned away, going backwards, يعني leaving. وَالْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلَةٌ. While the hereafter is coming forward, meaning the end of this life. وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ بَنُونَ. And every one of them, يعني the dunya and the akhirah, has children. يعني meaning those who are attached to it, who follow it, who are under its custody and its care and its authority. The dunya has banoon, children. يعني who just seek the dunya. A brother mentioned to me today, I'm not going to get sidetracked, but he said that a Muslim lady who's alone with her child was living in a building, in a house that was owned by a Muslim. And because the rents are getting high, and that Muslim lady with that child is not able to pay high rents, they refuse to renew her lease so they can rent it to somebody else, a kafir or whoever, just for dunya. A Muslim lady with a child, and nobody to care for her, kick her out because we can get more money from somebody else. House owned by a Muslim, putting out a Muslim in order to bring in someone else. These are the banoon, the children of the dunya. So he said, indeed, the dunya is going away backwards and the akhirah is coming forward and every one of them has children. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءَ الْآخِرَةِ. So be from the children of the akhirah, yani those whose hearts are connected to the life of the hereafter. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't be from the children of this world. عبد الدنيا والدينار, as the Prophet ﷺ said. They are slaves of the world and slaves of money. Meaning whatever it requires, they will do it like a slave does for their master. Yani the dunya is a master for some people. May Allah save us from such. For indeed, be from the children of the hereafter and do not be of the children of the dunya. فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. For indeed, today, yani the life in this world, is the time, is the place of doing deeds where you're not yet being called to account. وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. And tomorrow, yani يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, is the time of taking account and you will not be able to do deeds. And whoever wants to do good, you have to do it now. Now is the time of amal. And tomorrow is the time of hisab. ويقول الحسن البصري رحمه الله. يعني one of the imams of the tabi'een. One of the imams, عمة التابعين رحمه الله رحمة واسعة. He said, المؤمن قوام على نفسه يحاسب نفسه. يعني that the believer is the one who is قوام, يعني in charge of maintaining and protecting and guarding and preserving and training and subduing and directing his own nafs. He takes account of himself, the believer. وإنما خف الحساب يوم القيامة على قوم حاسبوا أنفسهم في الدنيا وإنما شق الحساب يوم القيامة على قوم أخذوا هذا الأمر من غير محاسبة. That indeed the accounting will be lightened, will be reduced, will be made easy. خف الحساب. On the day of resurrection, it will be lightened. The accounting will be lightened on the people who took account of themselves while in this world. And indeed it will be made difficult. The accounting will be difficult on the day of resurrection for people who entered into this affair without taking account. Yani they just went about life as though there's no accountability. And some of us are quick to judge the rulers, the presidents, the kings, the governors, the prime ministers, that these people are no good. They are doing evil. They don't care. And we ourselves also, maybe we also don't care. Yani just as they will be called to account, we also will be called to account. We also will be called to account. And some people are not concerned about their account. So they abuse and misuse and they oppress others. And some of us, if we don't have the authority to oppress others, guess what? We oppress ourselves. ظالم لنفسي. ظالم لنفسي. نعم. ويقول ميمون ابن مهران رحمه الله لا يكون العبد تقيا حتى يكون لنفسه أشد محاسبة من الشريك لشريكه. يعني what a thought to take home with you or to start your day with. لا يكون العبد تقيا. No abd will be يعني تقيا, will be a person of taqwa, unless and until that person will be more strict and more severe in taking account of oneself than the partner is in taking account of their partner. Yani a person is in business and they are careful to watch their partner, to take account of their partner, to make sure that they are not slipping away with anything. And no person will be taqi until they are more strict with their own self than a partner is with his partner. And of course, not every partner is strict with their partner. Some partners have good partners and they trust them. But generally speaking, in business and money, many people can't be trusted, not in this day and time. If you have a partner, you probably have to take account. You have to watch them. But as much as you watch them, to make sure they don't escape with one extra dollar, you have to be more strict with your nafs. Because on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will all come forward. And in this vein, وَلِهَذَا قِيلَ has been said, النَّفْسُ كَالشَّرِيكِ الْخَوَّانِ. Yani that the nafs is like the partner that yani is not trustworthy. خَوَّان. Yani violates the trust. Huh? The nafs is like the partner who violates the trust if you entrusted them. إِن لَمْ تُحَاسِبْهُ ذَهَبَ بِمَالِكِ. If you didn't take account of him, if you didn't watch over him and follow behind him and follow up on the matter, he will run away with your money. Like the preacher down the block here, in the middle of this block. That's what they said. That he got the money and he ran away. They didn't hear from him since. Right in this block here. Huh? That's true, right? You live in the neighborhood. He got the money, large sum of money. Once it got very large, he said, I'm out of here. Yani, the nafs is like the partner that is not trustworthy, that violates the trust. If you don't take account of him, he will run away with the money. The nafs will run away with your money. Yani, what is your money? Yani, your life, your deeds, your accounting, yawm al-qiyamah. The shaykh, he closes, almost, he closes by saying, and it is more so the case, يعني يتأكد هذا المقام في هذه الأزمنة. يعني this affair, this matter that we are discussing is more so the case in this time that we are living in which الفتن والصوارف عن الخير كثرات. يعني that the trials and tribulations, the fitna And those things that turn you away from doing good have become many. They have become many. When we were growing up, the old people here, when we were growing up, there wasn't much distraction. There was hardly even a television. When I was a child, I lived in the projects in Fort Greene, and a 6-story building with 4 apartments on each floor, there was only one television in the whole building. Only one family had a television, Richard Price, on the 6th floor. So if something really came important, everybody would go to his house to watch television. There wasn't a lot of distraction. There was not a lot of distraction. Now, every child has their own distraction in their pocket or in their hand, because probably they never put it in their pocket. And the adults are no better, out of control. To the extent that some people have anxiety, attacks, if their telephone is taken from them. For a little while, they can't function, they can't think. Literally, that's a fact. Experiments have been done by the social scientists. They said some people can't function without their telephone. He said, especially in this time in which the fitan, the trials and tribulations, the things that distract us from doing good have become many. وَعَظُمَتْ الشُّرُورُ التي تصول الباطل للنفس وتزينه له. And the evil which causes the soul to like falsehood, to love falsehood, to be inclined to falsehood. That evil which beautifies falsehood to the nafs has become greater than ever before. So that people, somebody told me today that a lady said that she would rather her husband to have an affair with a woman for one night than that his heart be attached to another woman. Just go out and get a prostitute. Listen to what I'm saying. People, falsehood became beautified. Evil and corruption became beautified. Homosexuality became the norm. Such that if the person is not a homosexual, they at least approve of it. And they would condemn you if you said a word against it. Rather, I think they have a sickness. They classified it as a sickness. If a person is against, what they call it?
Homophobia.
That means you're sick. When it used to be, where I grew up at, if there was a homo, they were in hiding. There wasn't even one visible. Not even one. And they existed then. But they were in hiding. For sure. They didn't come in public. Wallahu musta'an. This is the condition that we're living in. And that's why the Shaykh is saying, because of this, it is incumbent upon us. It is more so the fact that we are in need of calling account of ourselves. وَقَدْ كَانَ الْإِمَامُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ مُبَارَكُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, one of the great scholars of the scholars of hadith from the people of Sunnah. Abdul Mubarak, I think he died in what year? The end of the 2nd century. I think 181 of the Hijrah. Abdul Mubarak, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, he said, وَهُوَ مِنْ, the Shaykh is saying, who is Abdul Mubarak? هُوَ مِنْ جِلَّةِ الْعُلَمَاءِ التَّابِعِينَ. He's one of the most noble of the scholars from the second generation of Muslim Tabi'een. He said about his time, okay? And I'm pretty sure that Abdul Mubarak died in the year 181. That means near the end of the 2nd century. So that's early from the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said in his time, إِنَّ الصَّالِحِينَ فِي مَا مَضَى كَانَتْ أَنفُسُهُمْ تُوَاتِيهِمْ عَلَى الْخَيْرَ عَفْوًا وَإِنَّ أَنفُسَنَا, in his time now, لَا تَكَادُوا تَوَاتِينَ إِلَّا عَلَى كُرْهٍ فَيَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نُكْرِهَهَا. That Abdul Mubarak is saying that the Salihin, the righteous people from the past, from the first generation of the Muslims, the Sahaba, he said the righteous people of the past, their nafs, their anfus, used to encourage them to do good, willingly, easily. That was their norm, that was natural. Whereas our souls today, in his time, second century, end of the second century, he said, it hardly calls us to do good except yani unwillingly, yani by force, by compulsion, unless we force it. So it is incumbent upon us to force it to do good. That's in the time of Abdul Mubarak. He said, فَكَيْفَ الْحَالِ فِي زَمَانِنَا. Sheikh is saying, so what about in our time? Yani if Abdul Mubarak is comparing his time to the time of Sahaba, that in time of Sahaba the people used to, their nafs used to be inclined to good. And in his time, the nafs hardly inclined to good, except rather it had to be forced to do good. So what about in our time, yani 1200 years later? Yani after the time of Abdul Mubarak. And the Shaykh, he closes with this. And before I read the supplication that the Shaykh mentioned here, I just want to say at the end of this, yani, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He open our hearts to accept sincerely these advices and what came before it of the principles of purification of the nafs. And we ask Allah, yani, not only to open our hearts to accept it, but that He grant us the tawfiq to act upon it. And that He accept from us the good that we do. And He doesn't have to accept it. Because perhaps what we have presented of good, it may fall short in what Allah is deserving of. It's not guaranteed when you do good that Allah will accept it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us whatever good we do. And to help us and to aid us. To pardon our shortcomings. And to make it easy for us. Yani to do that which is pleasing to Him. As we always say. So that we return to Him. Yani radiyatan mardiya. In a condition, in a state of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. The Shaykh closes by saying, نسأل الله تعالى بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا أن يصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأن يصلح لنا دنيايا التي فيها معاشنا وأن يصلح لنا آخرتنا التي فيها معادنا وأن يجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر. يعني اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يعني the Shaykh is saying, we ask Allah by His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics to rectify for us our deen, which is the controlling factor of our affair, and to rectify us for us our dunya, which contains our livelihood, and to rectify for us our akhirah, التي فيها معاد, yani that is going to be the place of our return, and to make for us the hayat in this world an increase. Let it be an increase for us, yani our living in this world, let it to be an increase for us in every khair, and our death, that it be a rest, yani a raha, that it be rest for us. Dying will be rest for us from every evil. And we say, O Allah, yani give to ourselves its taqwa, and purify it. Indeed, You are the best of those who purify it. Indeed, You are our guardian and our protector and preserver and provider. And the salat and the salam be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon his family and upon his companions. Naam. Any question about the topic tonight? Any question about the topic tonight? Alhamdulillah, this is wonderful. Let us close here. And also, I'll just remind everyone, barakallahu fikum, next week, yani we're going to have a gathering, inshallah, we're going to bring some food. Mashallah, the brothers and sisters have already donated towards that food. Is there anything still needed, Ya Abdul Karim? Ya Abdul Karim? Is there anything still needed in terms of money?
Well,
we have a lot of money. طيب خلاص, يكفي, inshallah, whatever we need, we'll make it, inshallah. Labas. If anybody didn't donate something for the food next week and you would like to see Abdul Karim, we're not really asking people to donate. I'm saying if anybody didn't and they would like to, alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair, barakallahu fikum. Next week, inshallah, at this time between Maghrib and Isha, we're going to have a dinner, and we're also going to have yani some gifts as we normally do for those who attended regularly in the class. Yani, please come. Everybody is welcome. And we do encourage you to come. It may be a little bit crowded, you know, space is small, but you know, alhamdulillah, this is a good occasion, and we just want to make sure that everybody knows, whoever may not be here tonight, If you know somebody who's not here and they might have missed this announcement, please tell them that next week between Maghrib and Isha, we're going to be having some food here. And all of the food will be dhabiha, yani if it's meat, and all of it will be lawful, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. If anybody wants to bring some juice or yani some pastries, something like that, no problem. Otherwise, we're going to bring the meal, inshallah. But if you just want to bring something extra to go with it, something to drink, you're going to bring some ice cream or some cake or some donuts, some of that stuff that is not really good for your health, but many people like to eat it. No problem. Welcome. Once in a while, just every few months like this, okay? Also, I want to just make one final announcement, and that is, brothers and sisters, when we're in the masjid, we must be conscious that we're in the masjid. We're not in the mal'ab. We are not in the workplace. We are not at school. We're in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us. He said that every one of you is calling upon your Rabb. Kullukum yani munajin rabbahu. Fala yajhar ba'dukum ala ba'd bil Quran. Don't even raise your voice above one another with the Quran. And if people are praying, people are reading Quran, people are making dhikr and dua in the masjid. Do not raise your voice in the masjid without need or necessity. Wallahi, this is a very serious matter. In one of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلَا يُؤْذِيَنَّ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدُ. Don't harm. Some of you harm others. Don't do that. If a person is praying or making dhikr or dua, or just trying to reflect, yani while they're waiting for the prayer, the sunnah, from authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when you come to the masjid for salat, yani the salat is due, you're supposed to line up in rows for the salat. And you're not supposed to be holding worldly discussions. That is not the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the time for the salat is due, when you come in the masjid, you're supposed to line up and wait for the salat. I understand our background. I understand, you know, our situation. I understand that we don't see each other often. I'm just reminding you. وَذَكِرَ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The Ibn Kathir said, فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, the reminder Prophet, the hearts of believers, yani the hearts, قلوب المؤمنين. It may not profit anyone else. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. If I offended anybody, what I said is not meant to offend anybody. It's just a reminder.